One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org to discover more shows like this one. The darkness awaits.
It's about to be a fun ride. Follow along, watch as we slide. Paranormal just hit the lights. Goosebumps all through the night. Mix in just a little bit of twain. That girl sure can't do a thing. Together, hillbillies go insane. Laugh so hard it'll hurt your brain. Podcast you won't ever change. These two here, they got the recipe. Sat on back and listen in to some of our darkest mysteries, ain't.
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. And now here's your host, Jerry and Tracy Polly, and their dog Ninja.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 120 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
I'm Tracy.
I'll confirm that.
Dang it.
Oh, we've had so much going on the past week.
Ooh,
setting
I'm exhausted.
Setting these shows up, first of all.
Oh, not about the shows. I'm exhausted from, like, this weekend period.
Oh, I wouldn't expect it to be anything to do with the show.
Yeah, oh, no. That's all on you.
But setting up these shows is excruciatingly painful. There are so many moving parts, and shows that I thought we would have set up confirmed already haven't been, and then shows that I didn't think we'd have ready yet are confirmed. So within the next couple of weeks, I hope to have all of the dates that we put out confirmed. And what I mean by confirmed is we're just finding the right location. Occasionally, like our Gatlinburg show, turns out that there's a week of spring break. That's not a good idea to be down there in Gatlinburg spring break time.
Uh-huh.
Rooms will cost you a fortune compared to what it would. So we shifted it to like the next week.
Uh-huh.
So, but I'm waiting for confirmation, which I should have tomorrow on that. Just little things like that. So there's a lot of little nuts and bolts. The Houston show, we think we have confirmation. I'll know Tuesday. I'm having a little conversation on that one. So that'll help a little bit. But we got some cool shows that are already set up and a couple that are really close. And I'll fill you in as we go. First of all, as usual, we want to thank all of our military and civil servants all over the world, no matter who you are, no matter what country you represent. Thank you for what you do.
Amen. And God bless all you firefighters in California. I don't even know how you're doing it, but God bless every one of you.
And of course, as usual, if you're struggling and you need to talk to somebody, reach out and grab a friend. Reach out and grab somebody in our group. Reach out and grab us. Or feel free to call the suicide hotline, 1-800-273-8255. And if you're more of a texter, 741-741 will get you through to somebody who will do anything they can for you.
Absolutely.
Just remember, you are somebody. Whether you realize it or not, you mean the world to several people out there. You just don't think so sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And we all go through those rough patches, but
yeah,
trust me when I tell you, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes you just gotta keep looking a little longer than other times.
Wow, amen to that, honey.
I thought we would do a story, actually a couple of stories from Oregon tonight, because I don't know that we've done one from Oregon.
I don't think we have.
It seems like we did one, and I can't remember what it is, but it might have been on the shorts that we did that. So we're going to do a couple of stories. One of which is something that I had never heard of, and I found the whole topic fascinating. So we'll get into that in a second. But I've got another story from Oregon. It's a smaller one. It's kind of like we do in our shorts. So if you're not a Patreon supporter and haven't heard the shorts that we do, which we do six a week, depending on the tier that you come in on Patreon, it determines how many of those you get. This is going to be kind of an example of what we do, so to give you a little taste of that if you're not a Patreon supporter. So there you go.
Sounds good.
You hear the at the beginning of the episode, we get our little Hillbilly Horror Stories rap. That's a gentleman that goes by the name of Tragic Times. That's his rap name. His real name is Mike Sulzer. He's head of Sulzer Entertainment. And we talked about Mike a bunch on here, but we've never had him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this whole deal with Astonishing Legends and the EVP that they got from Sally House, it reminded me that Mike has sent me several EVPs in the past, probably year, I guess I'd say, mm-hmm. because he's a recorder. You know, he's got a recording studio in his basement. And sometimes he'll leave the microphone running while he'll run upstairs or something like that, and he'll come back and notice something on there.
Yeah.
Because you know how it is when you're looking at the screen, you can see blips showing where something was said. And he'll go back and play it. And he sent it to me and said, hey, what do you think this is? And what do you think that is? And then I started thinking when the Astonishing Legends deal happened about connecting with him and seeing what he thought and getting him on the show. Mm-hmm. So he's going to come on the show. And we're going to play some of these EVPs and talk a little bit about them. And plus some other stuff that's happened at his townhome.
Yeah, so these things are creepy.
These things are like, I mean, I forgot how they classify these things, class A, class B. And they're always subject to interpretation. So, I mean, what I hear, Tracy might hear different.
Dude,
or what he might
totally,
hear.
Like he said, well, this is what I heard. And I'm like, I didn't even hear anything like that. Like blue and pink, that stupid shoe thing or whatever's going around. I never heard a thing like he heard, and that is so bizarre.
But at the same time, I heard what he said before he even told me what it said.
That's really weird, and I'm telling you, it is really creepy, so you all need to listen.
Yeah, so it's going to be pretty cool. All right, couple special thanks. Heidi Krause.
Yay, Heidi.
Heidi hosts a podcast by the name of Nightshade, and she was one of the podcasts that were featured on our Halloween edition, mm-hmm. one of the newer ones. She also is a fantastic artist, and she especially loves drawing dogs and mm-hmm. stuff like that. She did a picture of Ninja with our logo and dressed in...
Yeah, it was so adorable.
Dressed in hillbilly garments and stuff like that, and we made it a t-shirt, and we put it up, and I just wanted to give her some special thanks for what she did and bring some attention to her artistic abilities. Look her up on AngelBot3D, AngelBot3D.com. And if you need some personalized artwork done.
Yeah, she is very, very talented. I was so impressed.
So she's already working on something else for our anniversary show.
Aww.
Which, since I brought it up, anniversary show, August 24th. Tickets are on sale. We've already sold 5 of the 60 tickets, believe it or not, even though it's in August.
Mm-hmm. That's a great Tony Bruschke
from Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, we're so excited.
And the Grave Talks will be there along with us. Only 60 seats available. It's $15. They're going to have a $15 buffet. It's at a nice steakhouse.
Oh my
it's a
gosh,
nice
yeah.
room.
Mm-hmm.
We've been there before. It's going to be cool. So we got that one. Real quick, I'll hash this and we get into the story. October 5th, Point Pleasant, West Virginia, home of the Mothman, home of the bridge collapse, home of all the stories, home of the Mothman Museum. We will be doing a show there. It's going to be Brohio and Diane from History Goes Bump.
Mm-hmm. Another great show. Hopefully everybody will show up for that and we'll all have a great time.
That one's another one. I'll have to check on that one, but I think there's only 60 tickets available for that one.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, we just released this on Friday, I believe it was. Indianapolis, June 22nd. If you were at the Indy show before at Scotty's Brewhouse, we're going right back to the same place because they did such a great job mm-hmm. taking care of us. Justin Rimmel from Mysterious Circumstances and Rev96, which is his other podcast. Mm-hmm. Brohio and us will all be there. Mm-hmm. And this one, we've already sold tickets to that one.
That's amazing.
Just amazes me that people would buy tickets for something that's 6 months away. But they know if there's only 60 or 70 seats available, you will sell out of these things. So
we appreciate you guys so much for jumping on board. It means a lot to us.
And it's going to be also, you know, something to consider about as a Christmas present for people. That's one of the reasons we're bringing it up. And you can go to our website and buy tickets for any of these events. Now, this one is not officially set up, so I'm not going to give a date, but it's going to happen. I just got to get the date finalized, which I think I know, but before I say it, I don't want to crush anybody's spirits because we've already had people buy we've already had people buy hotel rooms for the Kansas deal based on the date that we gave, and I hadn't confirmed the date yet, but I think it's going to be fine. But I'm just saying, people are all over the whole Sally House trip. So this one, I've already confirmed, we will be doing a show on a Sunday in April inside Bobby Mackey's. How cool is that?
That's very cool.
Have to do it on a Sunday because they're open Friday, Saturday night. But what I've got set up is Gatekeeper Paranormal, who do their tours there, private tours. They are going to come in, open the place up, simply for us. It's going to be $25 a ticket. There's only going to be room for 50 people because they can only do tours of 25. So there'll be two of them there. But they're going to talk to you guys about the legend of Bobby Mackey's, the history of the place. We'll do a show. We won't do a show on Bobby Mackey's because we've already done that one. But we'll do a show. And then they're going to give everybody a tour, a private tour of Bobby Mackey's. Yeah.
It's, you guys will really enjoy that. There's a lot of cool stuff to see there for sure.
And how cool is the price on that is the fact that that's normally what they charge for just a tour period.
Yeah.
You're going to get a tour, you're going to get our show, and you're going to get a show from them all at the same time. So I'll release the day. I should have confirmation on that tomorrow.
Yeah.
But we'll start selling some tickets for that.
A lot of exciting stuff. And what means the world to us is just to get to see you guys. So that's what we always look forward to.
Yeah, it amazes us that you guys really want to come out and do some of these things.
Yeah,
and
you guys are the best.
We're trying to tie more of these things to haunted locations like we did with Waverly last year. So this year, we already know we're doing a show in Bobby Mackey's. We're doing a show where we're going to be doing Waverly tours after that. The same month, by the way, as the Bobby Mackey's deal. And we know we're going to Atchison, Kansas, where the Sally House is. So
yeah, I still don't know about that one.
And doing a show in Point Pleasant where the Mothman is. So we are really trying to get out and do shows at these places. So when you come to see us, that you're actually getting more bang for your buck than just seeing us. You got a bunch of other stuff you can do that's related. So,
amen. All right.
Take a quick second to hear a new sponsor that we have for tonight's show. It's a fantastic podcast I think you guys will enjoy. Let's get into the story.
Okay.
We've made them wait long enough. Well, I guess I made them wait.
Yeah, you've been doing all the yapping.
Tracy.
What?
I'm going to ask you a question I already know the answer to. Have you ever heard of the term Shanghaiing?
Yeah.
Really?
Shanghaiing is in a movie.
Okay. That Shanghaiing is in a term, as in a verb.
Shanghai?
Shanghaiing.
Oh,
like
no.
Doing.
No.
Okay.
Never.
Now, usually I've heard of most of these big stories, especially since we get tons of suggestions from people. And now I got basically 2.5 years of watching YouTube videos of most haunted lists and researching the hell out of these stories to try to come up with something new. I did a search for the most haunted places in America the other day, and I found a place on one of these lists that I had never heard of. And it seems like it would be impossible after 2.5 years of looking up lists.
Yeah.
But there was one. So after researching it for about 20 minutes or so, I decided that this would actually make a really cool story. Now, it doesn't have as much paranormal activity as some of the stories we do, but the background is super interesting, and when you tie the two of them together, I think that's what will make it a pretty cool. So this week's story is on the Shanghai tunnels in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Portland was not always called Portland, as you can imagine. It went through several different name changes, and from 1850 to 1941, the city was known by several different names. One of those names was the Shanghai capital of the world.
I wonder why. That don't seem like it should go together.
Well, believe it or not, I'm getting ready to tell you.
Oh, okay.
Oddly enough, that will be part of the story.
Oh, good. I'm anxious.
Now, also, some people, I didn't really put this in here, but it's something I did run across. For a lot of times, people have known Portland as the Forbidden City.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get into the story, you'll know how that name came about.
Okay.
But it all has to do with this. Okay, so to answer your question, why it's the Shanghai capital of the world, it's because Shanghaiing was one of the most common practices in Portland at the time. So the next obvious question would be, what's Shanghaiing? Which is the way we started off. Well, during the span of 1850 to 1941, a disgusting practice took place in Portland, and a series of underground tunnels helped make it a little bit easier. These tunnels are, of course, the focus of tonight's story. Many people died during this awful practice. Some report as many as 2,000 men and women were taken by Shanghaiing, and many of them were killed. Shanghaiing was kidnapping and human trafficking. People were abducted from the bars that were over top of these tunnels by middlemen and then sold to sea captains for as little as $50 a head.
Whoa.
The able-bodied men were forced to work on these, basically, ships for free that were headed to the Orient. In most cases, they were headed to Shanghai, thus the term Shanghaiing.
Okay.
Things were supposedly during their worst during the Prohibition. So originally the Shanghai tunnels were used by the bars and the restaurants to get their supplies that would come in on the water in that area. Mm-hmm. So then they would just make it easier. The tunnels connected to the basements of the structures for convenience. The people who participated in the practice of Shanghai eventually developed trap doors that they called deadfalls.
Oh, gosh.
And they would use these to pass down the next victim. So think about this. You're in a bar. You're just having a good time. And somebody comes up and they slip you, you know, they're buying you drinks. They're making it happy. And then eventually you get so drunk, they just get you out of a trap door. Hit the
door
button,
opens.
You drop straight down. Once you're in a tunnel, they would put you in basically a specifically designed prison cell and held till you were shipped off somewhere.
That is the craziest thing.
So typically,
how
these
scary.
Yeah, typically these were men that were either drunk or they would drug them to subdue them.
Wow.
So in some cases they would do that.
That's horrible.
By the time they woke up, they would be on a ship with no way of going back. They would also take women, but they were usually forced into prostitution. Once they got pregnant or a little too old to be worth their while, as the men would determine, they were usually killed off as well.
The pregnant women were killed?
Yep.
That's horrible.
Yes, it is. By 1941, human trafficking had stopped being worth the cost, and the tunnels were padlocked, and they pretty much stayed off limits for many years. But the ghosts of those brutal practices still remain.
That really is so, so awful.
It is.
Horrible, damn-ass people.
So before we get into the hauntings, I wanted to point out that some historians do not believe in the stories of the human trafficking being done through these tunnels. There definitely was Shanghaiing done in Portland. That's not disputed at all. The tunnels being used, though, has been disputed. So there's a lot of people that say these stories were made up about the tunnels being used so people could make money off of them with tours and stuff. There is documentation in the newspapers of the tunnels and the secret passages, but usually it was organized crime that was kind of at the center of most of those stories, mm-hmm. which makes sense too. Now, Barry Blaylock, he had a book called The Oregon Shanghai, and he said these stories started in the Oregonian, which is the newspaper there in 1962, when they were doing some popular Shanghai stories.
Mm-hmm.
And he said in 1970, when they started doing the tours, they would pretty much talk about it, and they would mislead the visitors to the tours. So according to him, the first talk of it came in the late 60s in a couple of stories that were put out, but the stories
mm-hmm.
were just that, stories. So there's no real historic record or evidence that Shanghaiing actually happened in the tunnels at all. Historians say that even if it was a massive cover-up, like some people believe, it's unlikely that there would be no evidence of this practice for an era that it was at its peak.
But there was for sure tunnels, though.
No, there's for sure tunnels, and there was for sure people Shanghaiing. The question is, were these tunnels used for it?
Yeah.
So evidence may be coming soon, though, and if it's as convincing as promised, it could settle the questions about Portland's underground once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael Pete Jones, he's the founder of the group that offers tours at the Portland Underground, and he's a proponent of the whole Shanghai theory that the tunnels were used. He claims to have obtained indisputable evidence that will be revealed in an upcoming book consisting of photos and documents of the proof. Okay, so let's get to the spooky stuff, the paranormal stuff. Obviously, if 2,000 people were abducted, you can imagine how much negative energy could be in this location.
Mm-hmm.
2,000 number, by the way, is strictly for the tunnel. The figures that I saw that said Shanghaiing in the city was as many as 1,500 a year, and this went on for 80 years.
Oh, well, that's not that many then.
1,500 a year for 80 years.
Oh, you mean it kept doing it every year?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood
no,
you.
15, no, I'm saying, but they were just saying 2,000.
So, yeah, they were like way
through
off.
The tunnel.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the rest, but through the city, there was all kinds of it, but they're just saying
wow,
2,000 came through the tunnel.
That's insane.
So, there have been many different types of paranormal activity in the tunnels, and in one specific bar that we'll talk about in a few minutes, they've got their own little personal ghost
mm-hmm.
that comes there that gets tied to one of these stories. So there were several hundred deaths that actually took place in the tunnels themselves, due from injury, drugs, disease, and other causes. Now, since this time, several people have reported strange and unusual phenomenon that seems to be directly tied to the fact that there are actual spirits that reside here in the complex, mm-hmm. system of tunnels, secret passages, and trap doors. Many who have walked the tunnels report hearing moans, talking, screaming, and even crying. Now, why it's believed that many of these sounds may be the result of residual hauntings, there are also many people out there that believe that these are the sounds of a truly intelligent haunting. So let's first talk about, because I like to reiterate when we get this, because we always have new listeners. A residual haunting is basically like a movie playing back.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a horrible thing happen here. The ghost died. There's such a negative energy that sometimes you can see something play out even though there's really nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
An intelligent haunting is more a ghost or spirit that can interact with you. So that's the difference between the two. So some people think, hey, you're just seeing the events from the years past with all the horrible things that went on. Other people think it's an intelligent haunting. Now, the opinion is that these are intelligent hauntings are because people seem to think that they've realized that they've been trapped in
mm-hmm,
tunnels
mm-hmm.
and because they do not know how they got there to begin with.
Oh, guess not.
Because they were, you know, drunk or knocked out or whatever. They have a difficult time finding their way out. Well, to me, they don't seem all that intelligent. I mean, I'm not mm-hmm. trying to be mean, but
yeah.
I mean, you can walk through walls and stuff as a ghost. I mean,
But maybe they just really don't realize they're a ghost.
Well, I mean, maybe not.
You know, which would you would rather be? Would you rather be interacted with?
I'm just saying, I understand this is an intricate,
yeah,
complex tunnel system. But if I was a ghost and been in there for 100 years or so, I think I probably by this time could have found myself out. You remember that corn maze we went to that was real tough and we found our way out of?
Yeah.
It didn't take hundreds of years.
Well, no.
That's all I'm saying.
I get it. But I was asking, though, my question was, would you want to be able to interact with the ghost or just be left alone? Like, if you had your choice.
I would think if I'm hanging around, I would want to be interactive. Mm-hmm. What would be the point of hanging around?
Yeah, that's true. That's the way I feel.
So we mentioned earlier that there's a haunted bar / restaurant that we were going to talk about. That would be the Old Town Pizza and Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird name. Pizza and Brewing. It's like you're missing something. Mm-hmm. Is there more to that word? No. Mm-hmm. That's the name of it.
Just say pizza and beer and let it go.
Yeah, the Old Town Pizza and Brewing. It's built directly above the infamous Shanghai tunnels.
Oh, whoa. I don't like that.
So don't be surprised if you go there to grab you a couple slices of pizza and you get a unwanted guest that just kind of joined you for dinner. So that's kind of what you get there. So Old Town Pizza has a resident ghost by the name of Nina.
Nina?
Did you just say Nina?
Yeah.
Anyways. So if you feel a presence behind you or you smell a faint whiff of perfume, you may have just met Nina.
Mm-hmm.
She's usually seen in a black dress, wandering around the basement. Or sometimes she just likes to hang out and watch the patrons enjoy their meals.
Well, that's nice.
Nina's been there for over 100 years.
Wow.
So the story goes something like this. In 1880, the Merchant Hotel was built by two of the area's most successful lumber tycoons. The hotel was on the same block as right now,
mm-hmm.
or you know where the restaurant is, and it was built to cater to Portland's newest residents. Now, Old Town Pizza sits in the original hotel lobby. In fact, the window where you order the pizza is the original hotel reception desk. It's even got the original cast iron beams and stuff that sit on both sides of it.
That's nice.
Underneath the floorboards are the Shanghai tunnels. So Old Town Pizza sits on the north end section of town, and that's the part of town that had a really questionable reputation.
Mm-hmm.
The Merchant Hotel is, you know, nice as it was and having the high society clientele, was even known for offering prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened around there. So legend goes that one of the working women there was Nina. She was also one of the women that was sold into the trade, as we talked about earlier. So she was trapdoored or captured or something, and pretty much this is what you're forced to do. Some traveling missionaries came to the area, right, and they were going to try to clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
So they convinced Nina to share some info in exchange for setting her free from her situation. First of all, I love how missionaries, which are supposed to be known for helping people, were like, I will only help you get out of here.
Right.
If you, you know, help us with some information. Mm-hmm. You would think they'd just be willing to help.
Yeah, you should be. Yeah.
But, you know. So regardless, Nina did cooperate, and soon after.
What? The way you said that, it did not sound good.
What?
Nina did cooperate.
Well,
get
she
it?
Did.
Nina did cooperate. It kind of all ran together.
Oh.
It sounded funny. Sorry. Go ahead. My bad.
Okay.
She cooperated and...
Soon after, she was found dead in the hotel, which is now the Old Town Pizza.
Oh, my gosh. She can't win or lose, could she? Well, I guess she lost, but...
Yeah, starts,
try to sounds, be a good person.
Sounds like a loss to me.
Yeah. That's... People are so mean.
She had been thrown down an elevator shaft.
Oh, so, that had to hurt.
Well, I mean, much like the prostitution business, it had its ups and downs. Stop it.
Stop.
It was like that Aerosmith video where he hopped on the video going down. Down. Anyways.
Loving an elevator.
Most people believe Nina never left the building.
Yeah.
So Nina's name is supposedly carved in one of the bricks from the old elevator shaft, which is now the backdrop of a booth, cozy little booth that's in the rear of the restaurant.
I wonder who did that.
I don't know. Maybe it was Nina. Nina? Old Town Pizza was founded in 1974 when the Acquardi, I know I'm going to pronounce that wrong, but the Acquardi family opened the doors and it's now a legendary Portland landmark. The lobby of the Merchant Hotel was transformed to the hippest pizza place in town. Generations of loyalists to this restaurant remember this place as a cool hangout for leaders of Portland's counterculture back in the 1970s. Actor Willem Dafoe was a regular at this time, and he would usually be found lounging on a couch somewhere in the mezzanine.
What's he playing, Willem Dafoe?
The Reservoir Dogs and a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Bill Walton, the basketball player, he was and also a big, well-known Grateful Dead head, which fit perfect with the counter movement at the time. He played for the Portland Trailblazers. He used to ride his bike up there when he was with the Trailblazers and go up there. He'd always get a large vegetarian pizza and a pitcher of Henry's, which I guess was a type of beer. He would sometimes be joined by his teammates who would stay all the way till closing time, apparently more than once.
Yeah.
Today, the Milan family runs the Old Town Pizza, keeping its legacy still alive.
That's
but
cool.
As far as the tunnels,
yeah,
many of the tunnels and the catacombs have collapsed, but some, like the ones right around Hobo Restaurant and the ones right in front of Old Town Pizza, are still very well preserved, and they're still doing tours there today. So if you're
wonder
in that
why,
area, you can do tours.
I wonder why that didn't collapse.
I don't know. I have no idea.
That sounds like a pretty cool place to hang out, though.
It does.
Yeah. Aww.
So I thought...
I wonder if their pizza's good.
I mean, you're not going to stick around somewhere since the 1970s, what, 74, yeah, without being good pizza.
True story.
I don't know. Maybe that's not true. How long has Little Caesars been around?
Oh, stop. Little Caesars is good.
You know what? Little Caesars have been around for probably that long because when I first had it, I was in high school, which was mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
So I take that back. You apparently can stick around forever with horrible pizza.
Pizza, pizza.
Horrible, horrible.
It is not horrible
pizza,
at all.
Pizza, shitta. I hate Little Caesars.
Oh my
with a passion,
gosh. But
with a passion.
It. You ate it not too long ago.
I ate it because I didn't have a choice. And I had to pay for it. It was horrible. It's like eating cardboard. I felt like just eating the box and giving them the pizza.
It's not that bad.
I remember one time I was going to try to feed some homeless. And I stopped and bought like 6 or 7 of the $5 ones. And I just took them to a part of town where a bunch of homeless people. And I just gave it to them. And I remember I posted on Facebook. I said, hey, I dropped off a bunch of Little Caesars pizza. And somebody posted, well, what did the homeless ever do to you to where you gave them Little Caesars pizza?
Stop
and,
it.
And I'm like, you know, that's a fair judgment.
No, it ain't.
I could see being homeless and starving and somebody put that in front of me and go, eh, I'll wait for the next thing. I just wait.
Well, then you're stupid.
That is a very negative attitude for you to
have. I don't care. When you're hungry, you'll eat what you get. And you'll be grateful for it. And Little Caesars is good.
It's not good.
Pizza, pizza. The not pretzel good. Pizza was really good.
Pretzel pizza.
The
oh,
pretzel
yeah.
crust.
Anyways.
Hater.
I am a hater. Let's real quick talk about patron support.
Yeah.
I want to thank our new patron supporters, Roseanne Robertson, Natalie Galindo, I hope I didn't pronounce that wrong. These Italian names I struggle with. And Paul Wellman. Thank you, three.
You guys are amazing. Thank you all so, so much. It means the world to us.
And Natalie, I've spoken to a lot over the past week. She's actually wanting to help with some research. She lives out in California.
Oh,
and,
groovy. Great. Yeah.
So.
Thank you so much. iTunes. Thank you, guys. We love you.
iTunes. We had 10 this week.
Yay.
Miss Lisa Marlene. 123DB123.
Nice.
Selling dance steps.
I know.
Mojo Lobster, NVR Jade, Frank R60, Mia Lee Craft. Mia actually did a story on our last bonus episode for Patreon.
Nice, good.
Sherry Shaw, Vela, 1981, CLM 255,
mm-hmm.
3D Horror Dolls.
Nice. And I will go ahead and apologize for my laugh busting whoever's eardrum that was.
And I personally don't care. It happens.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Look.
I try to back away from the mic because I know it's going to hurt your eardrums.
The bottom line is we are still just two people in our bedroom making a podcast. I mean, we're not professional sound mixers by any means. And I think we've come a long way in what we've learned on our own.
Yeah, but I mean.
These things aren't going to a studio. So, yeah, sometimes, unfortunately,
right.
We will have, you know, like when we put in an interview that the sound will be a little higher than the rest mm-hmm. or what have you. You know, that stuff's not as easy. You know, if you've never done this, it's easy to say, well, I can't get. And I understand I probably would have done the same thing.
Oh, of course.
But it's harder than it looks. And we've mm-hmm. got programs called Levelator that's mm-hmm. supposed to level everything out. And guess what? It don't work. Yeah.
But so, anyway, I, no matter what Jerry says, I still want to apologize. I mean, I appreciate what he says, but I'm trying to learn to back away from the mic, but I just get caught up in the moment and I just don't think about it. So I wouldn't want to hear my crackly hyena laugh in my ear full blast. So anyway, but thank you. Thank you for the reviews, guys. They were really great and we appreciate them. Keep them coming. We love it.
All right, so I'm going to do this other little story from Portland. It's a cryptid story, so, it, you know, it hurts my soul, but I found it interesting, so it made its way in. And then we're going to play Tragic Mike Sulzer and listen to his interview, talk about mm-hmm. some of the stuff that's going on. I've known this guy forever. You're going to enjoy this. He's very entertaining. He mm-hmm. he should have his own podcast, honestly.
No,
so
he really should.
I think you'll enjoy that. So let's get into Colossal Claude.
And no, they say.
It's not a porn star, though it could be. Mm-hmm. He's actually I'm going to get into it. I'm not going to spoil it.
What you waiting on?
So the mouth of the Columbia River is a very dangerous place. The Columbia Bar, thanks to the fire hose force of water that hits it from the river, mixing with the tumultuous ocean waves, has been dubbed the graveyard of the Pacific. You add in the gale force winds and the constantly shifting sandbar, and you can see why this part of the world is so dangerous and so wild. It's wild in other ways, too. You have killer whales that frequent the mouth of the river to feast on the salmon. Great white sharks cruise in to hunt seals.
Oh, man.
And humpback whales have been spotted 14 miles inland near the Astoria Megler Bridge. So there's like all kinds of strange wildlife stuff happening
sure
here.
Enough.
So the towering Green Bridge we just talked about connects Washington to Oregon. And the Columbia River is also the area that it crosses
mm-hmm.
right there. The Columbia River is also known to be home of a sea monster, Colossal Claude. Claude's been described as being 40 foot long, including an 8 foot long neck. It's got a round body and a long tail. Its head is said to look like a camel with a mane.
Well, that is really weird.
Almost like the Jersey Devil.
I thought it was going to be like a fishing bobber until you said the mane.
Some say it's got an evil snaking type look. Some believe it resembles a plesiosaur, which comparing that to the Loch Ness Monster, that's what a lot of people say that's supposed to resemble. So one of the first reported sightings of the monster was in 1934 by the crew of the Columbia River Lightship, which was a floating lighthouse. How cool is that?
That would be very nice, yeah.
The crew observed this creature, and for some time before doing anything about it, they were using their binoculars.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to take a lifeboat out to get a little bit better look, but their request was refused by the commanding officers for fear that the beast would capsize the boat because it was so small.
Oh, yeah.
3 years later, another crew reported seeing the creature. Skipper Charles Graham on a commercial fishing ship gave a hauntingly similar description to what the lighthouse crew gave. 150 miles down the Oregon coast around this exact same time, near a rocky area known as Devil's Churn, a couple reported seeing a similar animal. Then in 1937, the crew of the Argo, which was another fishing vessel, had a close encounter near the mouth of the Columbia River. The creature reared up over 10 feet above the water. It watched the crew as it calmly took a 20-pound halibut out of the fish's line and ate it.
I would have crapped my pants. Wow. That's amazing, though.
The ship captain, Chris Landerson, said that the creature's head was like a camel's, and it had gray coarse fur, glassy eyes, and a bent snout.
And a what?
Bent snout.
A bent? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So the water in the Pacific is much too cold for a reptile, but the idea of a plesiosaur on the Oregon coast is not really all that far-fetched. Because in 2003, a paleontologist discovered a plesiosaur skull near Mitchell, Oregon. This 25-foot-long reptile lived about 80 to 90 million years ago. It was a top predator and a powerful swimmer. So there is a deep trench at the mouth of the Columbia River. Is it possible that a similar type creature to the plesiosaur could have survived and basically remained hidden except for a few rare sightings?
I mean, how in the world could it live that long?
Well, it's not saying one would live that long, but there could be a family of them or something that over the years have just found a way
to just
stay unobserved.
That would be cool as crap. You know this, right?
It would be. It looked like all of the sightings were in about a 4, 5, 6 year stretch.
Oh, wow.
Right there in Oregon, because it was like the first one was in the 30s and the last one was in the 30s. And I just kind of find that strange that it's not like you had the internet where everybody could go online and look it up.
Of course.
So, I mean, but all these different people had very similar stories. Mm-hmm. And from what I read, it doesn't seem like it was anything made up. It's like the people that told the stories were genuinely terrified of what they saw.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing that animals can live like that long.
Are we back on that again?
I'm just amazed by that. Aren't you amazed?
Well, I mean, like, turtles live like 150 years.
I mean, do you think they're like, damn, I've been here a long time. What's up? You think?
I don't know. I feel like that every day of my life.
Oh, yeah, me too. But that's really neat.
So, anyways. So, if you guys like that story, that's kind of what we do for the shorts. That little story about Colossal. Claude.
I kind of like that name, though. It kind of rolls off your tongue. Colossal Claude. Don't you think?
I can see being
distinguished or something.
Being some reptile or animal that's been able to escape being extinct for 90 million years and be like, how are you going to name me Claude?
Well, that's very true.
Awesome Arnie, maybe. I don't know. Awesome Alexander. That sounds like something that
yeah.
If you're going for the alliteration.
Yeah. That's impressive. Really.
I think Claude sounds better than like Colossal Chuck.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, anyways, so let's take a couple of seconds and listen to, it's not really a couple of seconds, like 20 minutes, but let's listen to Mike. And what I did in this interview was I played the EVPs so you could hear them throughout. So, and then I will let Mike talk a little bit about it. And then after he tells you what he thinks it said, then we play it again right after that. Mm-hmm. So you'll hear it so you can make your own decision. He's going to tell you what he heard, and then we'll play it again, and then we'll see if I'm nuts, Tracy's nuts, he's nuts, or maybe some of us are hearing the same thing. So take a listen and tell me what you think. Hey, guys, I'm joined by a longtime friend of mine by the name of Mike Sulzer, who goes more popularly known in Louisville by his stage name called Tragic Times. Tragic has been a good friend of mine about 17 years. He's done some comedy intros and stuff for me. But he's probably more known to you guys as the gentleman that does our opening theme rap, Hillbilly Horror Stories rap. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Mike Sulzer, or should I say Tragic Times.
Hey, no, thank you. I appreciate you guys for having me on the show, man. And yeah, Jerry, we go quite a ways back, man. And if I recall, I don't think I've been paid for those intros that you're talking about. So let me know when we can get that taken care of. But it's good to be on the show, man. Thanks for having me.
Mike, we've had several talks about the paranormal over the years. So, I mean, I think I'm not stepping outside my bounds by saying it's safe to say that you're fascinated by the paranormal.
Oh, no, absolutely, man. Absolutely fascinated with the unexplained. It's crazy. I go pretty far back, man. As a kid, I remember living in a shotgun house down in the south end of Louisville. And me and my little brother, we used to share a bedroom together. We had two twin beds, and my bed faced the doorway, kind of leading into the kitchen. And I remember the night I woke up to my dad calling my name, and I kind of sat up in the bed, and I looked over at my little brother. He's still sound asleep, and I look up, and my dad is standing in the doorway between the kitchen and our bedroom. And as he's standing there, I can tell that whatever he is calling me for, he's not happy about what the situation is. The look on his face is kind of a disgust in a way, and he just kind of stands there, and I remember kind of wiping my eyes and looking at him and saying, "What, Dad? You know, just, you know, what do you need? You woke me up out of my sleep. What's going on?" And without saying a word, he turned to his side and walked straight through the wall right there. And I'm kind of going, I'm sitting there for a second trying to think of how crazy this dream is that I just had, like to witness something like that and not wake up from it, just to turn and look at my little brother still sleeping in the bed and turn and look back at an empty doorway and realize that I'm awake, that what just happened and it wasn't a dream. I just sat here and watched it. And as freaked out as I was as a kid at that point, my fascination with the paranormal took off from there.
I remember when you lost your dad, and I shared a story of my mom coming to me to try to help you with the grieving process a little bit. Now, since then, you've also lost your mom and brother. Do you feel like that any of them have shown themselves to you in the years since their passing?
Man, Jerry, as much as I like to think that I'm in the paranormal and I love to listen to the ghost stories, I love to listen to the stories on your all show, I love to get in depth with people in conversations about things that they've experienced, I got to be completely honest and say that I personally have not noticed any of those signs. I don't know, man. It's a weird thing. I think that for me, I've been looking, which is why maybe I haven't seen anything. But it's been a few years now, man, and I haven't really noticed anything. Maybe I'm just completely oblivious to it. Either way, I haven't actually noticed anything out of the ordinary or something I could really hang my hat on to say that that's them, that's their sign to me that they're still here with me. I do have a little something that I want to show everybody later that might contradict what I just said. Other than that, I really don't know. I really don't have anything else that I can add to it.
Now, you've had some weird things happen in your home. You live in a townhome, got an upstairs, downstairs, little basement area. You've lived there for the last several years, and you've had some strange things happen, including some things that have popped up on some of your recordings that you were doing in the studio that's in your basement. When did you first notice these things happening, and when did you start thinking that it could be some kind of paranormal activity?
The townhome, yeah. Let's talk about the townhome for a minute, man. 7 years. We've lived here 7 years. It's been, at times, a little crazy, I'll be honest with you. And a lot of that has kind of generated itself more so over the last month. We've had three different situations that I'll talk about, but I guess for me, the first time I noticed anything about this townhouse kind of being hard to explain is in our bedroom, my studio that I record at is directly across from our bed. So my computer monitors actually face my bed. So just to keep them from coming out of sleep mode or anything like that, I'll shut the computer monitors completely off before we lay down. We've had situations where we'll actually be laying in bed about to fall asleep and all of a sudden the room will light up and look over and the computer monitors have somehow or another turned themselves back on. All this happened shortly after a good friend of mine that we call Country had passed away. And it just so happened that when these monitors were turning themselves back on, Country was actually the screensaver that I had on the computer. So they'd come back on and there's his mug on the front of the screen looking back at us. So I always kind of attributed to that was kind of him letting us know that he was still around and watching over us. But we've had other crazy things happen. We have a picture upstairs that's about 2.5, 3 feet tall that on a couple of different occasions, it's a self-standing picture. It sits on the floor. You put a bunch of pictures. We have a bunch of pictures of the kids in it, and it kind of has that lean like all pictures have, kind of to the back. It's got the stand on the back of it that kind of leans it back. But on several occasions, that picture, for no reason, will fall over onto its front. And it's happened in situations which are kind of unexplainable, not a whole lot of moving around. One of those situations was my little brother was here by himself. He was watching TV. We were gone middle of the afternoon, and it's sitting across the room from where he's laying on the couch at, and it just falls over. He looks over. He sees it fall by itself, so he decided that it was time to get up out of the house for a little while, get some fresh air. It just wasn't the time for him to be in the house at that point. Here recently, we've had some weird circumstances. One of them being my little brother, who spends a lot of his time more so on the couch than anywhere else, is laying on the couch. This is probably about midnight or so, playing on his phone, and my two daughters are in the bedroom adjacent from where he's laying at. They're laying in the bed. They're playing on their phone. And on the other side of the room from them is the kitchen. And the kitchen light's on. It's kind of like a nightlight for them so that it's not completely dark while they're trying to go to sleep at night. He's sitting there playing on his phone. He's not paying any real attention to anything. Turns over and looks. And my two daughters are standing next to him, and they're kind of frantic. Looking at him, trying to get his attention. He's like, well, what's going on? What do you guys need? And they were like, well, the kitchen light went off. He gets up and he goes and he kind of investigates, and he goes in there and he flips the light and he's flipping it back on. The lights come on. Everything's fine. When he's telling me this story, we start kind of looking at what the circumstances are. And it's 12 o'clock at night. I work third shift. So I'm actually at work at the time this happens. Their mom is downstairs in our bedroom. She's asleep. And their other sister is upstairs in her bedroom, also asleep. There's absolutely nobody that would have been in the kitchen. And even if there had been somebody in the kitchen, they'd have never turned that kitchen light off because they use that light as kind of like the night light for their room generally every night. So nobody would have just turned the kitchen light off for no reason. The light literally had to have turned itself off. No explanation for that. Speaking of working third shift, I come home a few days ago. I get my daughter up for school, tell her to go downstairs, get her clothes. We come downstairs, and we're standing there talking. She asks where her clothes are, and her mom tells her they're over in the dryer. So I said, go over and get your clothes out. She walks over to the dryer. She gets about 5 feet from the dryer. She's in between me and the dryer itself, and you can hear the pop sound of somebody opening the dryer. And then we all sit and watch the dryer door kind of swing itself open. Now, the crazy part is that we've gotten kind of used to these circumstances, these just kind of oddball things happening all the time. So she kind of turns around. My daughter, who just turned 10 the other day, turns around. She looks at me. I look at her. We turn to look at her mom and then kind of shrug our shoulders and go on about our business. I tell her, well, go ahead and get your clothes because, you know, obviously the ghost is trying to tell you it's time to go to school. So nothing wrong with a ghost that's willing to lend a hand, get your children off to school. I don't really have an issue with that. One of the craziest one probably happened to my wife and my youngest daughter. They decided that they were going to step out for a minute. They were just going right up the street. The only people at home at the time were my wife, my youngest daughter, one of my older daughters, and myself. Now, this is an afternoon deal, so I'm in the bed asleep. My older daughter is up in her room doing her homework. So my wife decides, we're just going right down the street. Just leave the door open. You know, we'll run down the street real quick. We'll be right back. So she leaves. The front door is open. Everything's good. She comes back, and the front door is still wide open. We have a big glass screen door on the front. The screen door is closed, but our front door is wide open. She pulls up in front of the house and looks up, sees that the door is open, comes around, goes to get my youngest daughter out of the car, opens the door, and she can hear the door close. She turns and looks, and sure enough, the door to the house is now closed. So she gets her younger daughter out of the car, and she tells her, Mommy's got to grab a few things out of the car. Go on up there and open the door. Well, my daughter, who's 4 years old, goes up to the door, opens the screen door, and starts pushing on the door, turns, looks at her mom, says, Mommy, I can't get it open. So my wife walks up, she starts jiggling the handle, and the door is locked. So she has to dig for her keys, unlock the door. By this time, she's aggravated. She makes her way straight upstairs to my 14-year-old, and she opens the door, and she goes, hey, I mean, really? You just go see us outside, and you're gonna shut and lock the door on us? Well, you think you're funny? Which my daughter, who's covered in her homework, from where she's been working on her homework and everything, and looks up at her and goes, I haven't left my bed. What are you talking about? So at that point, she kind of scratches her head. She goes downstairs, and she goes to ask me if maybe I got up and locked the door. I hadn't moved out of bed. I've been asleep the entire time. So we have absolutely no clue who shut and locked the door on her. But me and my 14-year-old were the only two in the house. So it's definitely something that I couldn't explain on my own. Situations that happen in this townhouse from time to time. And it's things that if I look back, I don't really remember them happening in the first 2 or 3 years we lived here. So, I mean, could it be somebody that is just trying to communicate with us personally? Somebody that we know, somebody that we've lost after we'd already moved in or something of that nature. I really don't know. There definitely is something that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And everybody in the house at some point has kind of been scratching their head over something that's happened.
Talk a little bit about some of the things that have turned up on the recordings.
Okay, so recordings. Sometimes when you record music, you may be in a position where you accidentally forget to turn your mic off. For instance, when your wife has left for work and realizes she forgot something, so she's calling you to bring something upstairs to you, in the midst of you trying to record something, you may forget that your microphone is on. When this happened to me, I ended up coming back to my studio, realizing the mic was on and shutting it off, but noticing that the format in which you can see your voice, the WAV file, you can see your voice on, there were markings on the WAV file, and there really shouldn't have been too much going on as far as those markings go, because nobody was in the room at the time that it was going on. So, being curious, I went back and I turned all this up so that I could hear what was going on. And in this recording, I actually end up picking up what I believe to be two separate voices. And if you want, you can play those two real quick, and then I'll let you know kind of what I think they are. Okay, so there's one voice, the one voice that sounds like, to me, it's real kind of deep, it's kind of dark. I believe that voice kind of says, we're the ghost. The other one, I personally believe, says, let's begin, in kind of a whisper. Some people have actually listened to that one and actually heard a name when they listen to it, but it's they're definitely cool to listen to. And Jerry, I sent those to you about the same day that I got them, and I'm sitting down here, I'm intrigued. I've turned my mic on a number of occasions trying to pick anything else up. The third voice that I have, what I consider to be a voice, this one is extremely special to me because of it's what I believe that it is. It kind of answers the question from earlier about whether or not I feel like my mom or my dad or somebody has tried to let me know that they're still here and they're watching over me. So I'm recording a song. The song's called Y'all Ain't Never Loved Me. It's kind of a more negative song. It's pretty much on the basis of no matter what I've done, you've never really paid attention to it. When I recorded the song, I went back and I'm mixing the vocals, editing some things in the music, and I realized that once again there's this really weird kind of voice in the middle of it. This one right here is extremely significant to me because, like I said, the song was kind of a negative thing. It was kind of saying, y'all don't love me for who I am. Or the voice that I hear says, love you, Michael. And it's significant to me because that is what my mom would say to me. As a matter of fact, Jerry, you know firsthand, I've always gone by Mike. Everybody knows me as Mike. Very few people call me Michael. My mom being the main reason for that. She was, that was, you know, I was Michael to her. I was Mike to everybody else. And to hear this, to hear it come out and hear it sound like love you, Michael, really is the only piece that I have to what I was talking about a little bit earlier, where I felt like my mom died in 2010, so 8 years. This is the only thing I feel like I have from her, where she came through to tell me something. You know, it's just special to me, and that's what I hold on to every time I hear it. And I probably listen to this 1,000 times, and I hear the exact same thing every time I listen to it. So I don't know what you guys hear, but to me, it's a pretty special recording. Now I have a fourth clip, Jerry. I know it's probably past your bedtime, but I have a fourth clip that I wanted to play for you guys. And this one is not anything that I've recorded whatsoever, but it intrigued me to no end. This is actually a voicemail that was left on my wife's phone. That makes absolutely no sense. Now, I'll set this up for you guys real quick. This was a bill collector calling, but they weren't calling for us. Not that we don't have bills, because we do. But they were calling because a friend of ours put us down as a reference. Jerry, I'm sure you know who that friend is. But put us down as a reference, and they were trying to get in touch with that individual. And it's not the voicemail itself that intrigues me. And once you guys hear it, if you pay attention to the very beginning of it, you'll be, I think you'll be pretty intrigued too, because I have no clue what this is or how it happened, but you guys just got to hear this.
Alicia. Hi, this message is for, this is Levi calling from Lone. Alicia. Hi, this message is for, this is Levi calling from Lone. Alicia. Hi, this message is for, this is Levi calling from Lone.
That's pretty freaky, I gotta admit. So let me ask you this. All these occurrences that are happening at the house, do you think this is a family member trying to connect with you? I mean, I know you say you can't really say for sure, but what's your thoughts on that?
You know, at this point, I would say yeah. You know, like with the computer monitors coming on in the studio while we're laying in bed and Country's face being right there. Jerry, you knew Country a little bit, and you'd got to meet him and have a few conversations with him. And I think you knew enough about him to know that that's just the type of awkward situation that Country would want to put me in. So, yeah, wake up in the middle of the night, room's lit up. I look over and he's looking at me laying in bed. I think that would definitely be something he would get a kick out of. And then, of course, the recording, it means a lot to me because, like I said, I hadn't really seen anything that would really stand out to me as that was my parents or that was my brother. And I've also lost a sister a little over a year ago that would be my sister that would really stand out to me. So this recording really is something that finally stands out to me when I listen to it. Like I said, I've listened to it 1,000 times and I keep hearing the same thing. I hear my mom's voice and just the way that she would say it to me. So yeah, I would definitely say that at some point where it's more family members than it just being something with the townhome itself.
Well, the stories you've told tonight and the EVPs are pretty damn scary, but believe it or not, I've saved the scariest for last. Tell everybody how they can keep up with you on social media and listen to your music.
Yeah, it's going to be really scary when you get the bill for this intro, I'm trying to tell you. But, everybody, check me out. All you have to do, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all you have to do is go there, search Souls Entertainment. I'm going to pop up. If you go to the Facebook page, the Souls Entertainment Facebook page, please hit the like button. I need as many fans as I can possibly get. Check out the music, all the links to the YouTube. They're all connected one way or the other. So it doesn't really matter where you go. You're going to hear the music. You're going to get to know me a little bit as far as like what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis. I'm looking to interact with you guys and have a good time. I have an album coming out in February called Complicated. So I want you guys to go like the Souls Entertainment page on Facebook also, because I'll be dropping all the information to that. Follow me on Instagram, also under Souls Entertainment. So I made it really easy for you guys to find me because I need fans. So help me get out there a little bit. I greatly appreciate it.
Mike, as always, man, it's been a great time. We always have a good time when we get together. We don't do it enough, unfortunately. But thank you for coming on, man. It's been fun.
No, I definitely appreciate it, bro, man. It's been a lot of fun. And I appreciate Tracy inviting me on, because I asked you like 10, 15 different times to have me come on to the show. I told you I had stories and that I wanted to talk to everybody, but you just kept blowing me off. But that's cool, because I've kind of liked Tracy better anyway. So give Tracy a hug for me. Tell her I love her. Pet Ninja, I love you, bro. You guys continue listening to Hillbilly Horrors with the best intro on any podcast, and go check out my music. I love you guys.
Okay, Tracy, so the EVP.
That's freaky.
Well, the one he had that said, "We're the ghosts," you didn't hear that at all?
No.
What did you hear? Something like, "I'm exciting," or something exciting?
All I know is the ghost had nothing to do with the ing on it at all. It did not even sound like that to me. Like, not even close.
Now, see, I thought it did.
See, that is the best.
And,
so
and
weird.
I heard that before he even told me.
That is so weird.
What he thought it said. That was.
Mm-hmm.
And the weird I didn't get, but ghost I got.
And that's the one you thing didn't I get. Didn't get. That is the craziest. The second one straight up sounded like Alicia to me.
Yeah, that's the, well, that was the second one I played you. That's not the second one on here. Mm. The one from the voicemail, and
oh, yeah, yeah.
The one from the voicemail that was left from the creditor at the beginning sounds like, after we did it, it sounds like Alicia, which is Mike's wife's name.
Yeah.
And I never picked up on that. I didn't.
I can't believe you did.
Well, I heard something, but I didn't really.
Isn't that how funny how people's word. Minds just hear different
but
stuff?
But now that you said it, it does sound like Alicia.
Mm-hmm.
Now people will go back and listen. Now that we said this after the fact.
Yeah.
Now the one that said, "Let's begin." Now I got "Let's." You got "Let's."
Mm-hmm. All I heard in my mind was "Let's be." That's all I heard, really.
And I heard "Let's be the best that you can be on every random day." Because you never know who can take it. Okay, I didn't hear all that.
I was going to say, what the hell?
But no, we both got "Let's" out of it, though, because it does sound like "Let's."
Yeah, definitely.
The third one, or the one that I think actually stands out the most, is the one that sounds like it says, "Love you, Michael."
Yeah, and I totally heard that.
Yeah, so creepy, but could be a huge positive.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some weird crap that happens in that house. And I've been over there a few times. And it just does kind of have a weird vibe over there. Mm-hmm. Even before I knew there was stuff going on.
Yeah.
So.
But that's pretty cool, though, that picked that up.
You never know.
No, you don't. Oh, we ought to leave our mic on. What are we?
We'll hear is Ninja snoring.
That's probably true.
That's what you'll hear. We already got people swearing that they're hearing the EVPs, and we had to tell them it's ninja snoring and break their heart.
That would be kind of interesting. We got to do that for real.
Well, remember that we have picked up some stuff. Remember we picked up that phantom knocking before we went to New Orleans?
That's very true, and that still creeps me out. Of course,
what I do, I deleted it. Well, I didn't.
Why you do that?
It wasn't part of the show. We didn't need it, so it had to be deleted because I didn't save it. Anyway, so we deleted that one, and then I think I played one on here before. I did. I played it on here. Remember when we first got our little recorder, mm-hmm. and the very first thing I recorded with it picked something up at the beginning, just like on that voicemail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Creepy.
Guys, we love you. We're getting out of here, but hope you enjoyed this episode. It was a little bit different.
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed it. We love you guys. Thanks for hanging with us. We appreciate y'all. Absolutely. I hope you guys have a great next week. We kind of had our Thanksgiving with my side of the family today.
Yep.
And, but it's nice. We're all going to have like a 3-day weekend. Hopefully most of us are.
Will have a Thursday off.
Yeah, he will have a Thursday off. But enjoy the time with your families, you guys, and be blessed and be thankful for what you have. And just like I say, keep praying for those in California and just all around the world. Show love and support. And we want to say thank you for showing us love and support like you do on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
You make our days just wonderful. So we love you guys and enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Yep, thank you guys so much. Have a good one. Hey, Hillbillies, if you guys enjoy what we do here on the show every week and appreciate all the hard work we put into it, consider being one of our Patreon supporters. All you got to do is go to our website, hillbillyhorrorstories.com, click on the tab for donations, and you'll see the Patreon link right there. Click on it, and you can go to our Patreon page. Then you will have a decision to make. You can choose the $1, the $3, the $5, or the $10 donation. Each one gets you different things a month. But regardless, you get some free stuff. Just check out the bonuses under each tier and you'll see what you get for free for that month, but you'll get something free regardless. Also, if you'd like to buy any Hillbilly Horror Story merch, you're also in the right place on the website, hillbillyhorrorstories.com. Just click on the store page and see whatever it is that you like. Click on a few links, send a little bit of money, and your item will be on its way. Thank you guys so much for all of your support. We love you. We thank you. And we appreciate you.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.